This morning is the first Sabbath in a brand new year. A clean year stretches out before us. We haven't had time to spoil it yet. What is 2012 going to bring? Well, we know the sun is going to rise each morning in the east, and it's going to set each evening in the west. We know each day will be 24 hours in length and that there will be 365 days this year. Why do we know this? We've learned it from past experience, right? We know because it has been there. We can trust the laws of nature. We know they're true. We don't even give that a second thought, do we? You think it's almost crazy to talk about. We can trust these laws. What else do we know for certain about 2012? Well, we know we're going to have an election in November. That's a pretty given fact, isn't it? We haven't missed one of those yet. So we know the media is going to be saturated with political agendas and debates this year. But we don't know for certain who's going to win the election. Already in the first week of 2012, we're seeing indicators of unrest in our world. Iraq is testing missiles. North-South Korea's tensions are running high as North Korea transitions to a new leader. The United Nations has put out warnings to the South Sudanese of the threat of ethnic cleansing in their country. Deadly forest fires in Australia are sweeping across that country. Over 12 million acres burned and many, many lives taken. We could go on and on. We're only 7 days into the new year. But that's not why we're here this morning. I want us to spend some time growing in our walk with God. Most of us here probably could quote this quotation by heart. Comes in a little book called Selected Life Sketches, page 196. It says, "We have nothing to fear for the future, except as we shall forget the way the Lord has led us and His teaching in our past history." How much do we have to fear for the future? Well, that depends upon whether or not the rest of the statement is being met, right? It would be crazy to just make a statement, "We have nothing to fear for the future." You'd laugh me out of town, wouldn't you? If we just stopped right there. There's a lot of things to be fearful of out there today. But there is a reason why we should have nothing to fear for the future. And that reason is because we know from experience how the Lord has led us in our life. And we can trust the God who has led us this far to lead us on. From our past experience with Him, we can be confident of the future. There is a God who is in control. In the Scriptures, we find constant reminders being established to remind us of this God. From the very first week of this world's history, we find the Sabbath, right? A reminder every single week there is a God, there is a Creator. And no matter how much the world scoffs at that, it doesn't change the fact God created this world. The Bible says in 7 days. And He gave us the Sabbath as a memorial of that creation. All the way back with Abraham, the father of the Israelite and the Muslim nations, we see that everywhere Abraham went, one of the first things he did was to build an altar and worship his father, God. Genesis 12:8. From there he went on toward the hills east of Bethel. He pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east, There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. The very next chapter, chapter 13, verse 18. So Abraham went to live near the great trees of Mamre at Hebron, where he pitched his tent. There he built an altar to the Lord. Abraham did this for several reasons. Of course, it was for the purpose of worshiping God. But it was also a visible reminder to his family, to his entire household, there is a God who is leading us. There is a God we worship. We see that his example has a positive effect upon his son Isaac. Genesis 26:25, Isaac built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord. Then he pitched his tent, and there his servants dug a well. I find it interesting that the order has changed. Abraham pitched his tents and dug the well and built an altar. Isaac builds the altar, then pitches his tents and digs the well. He knows from his father that there is a God. He learned from his father and followed his father's example. As God was preparing to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt, out of slavery that they had been in for 400 years, he told the families to do certain things in preparation for the night that they were going to leave the country. And one of the things they were to do was to kill a lamb and sprinkle the blood on the doorpost of their home. Reading on in that story in Genesis 12, verse 12, it says, on that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn and people of people and animals, and I will bring judgment on the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you. On the house where you are and where I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. This is a day you are to commemorate. For the generations to come, you shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance. Yes, it was a sign. God was leading them. God was in control. God knew where they were. God knew what was happening in their life. And Orthodox Jews still today celebrate that Passover in commemoration of God's working in their lives, in the lives of their ancestors. As long as they remembered what God has done for them, they have no reason to fear for the future. After wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, when Joshua was chosen by God to take him into the promised land, God told Joshua that he was going to dry up the Jordan River for the people to cross over. Joshua 3, we read the story how that happened. In Joshua 4, it said, when the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, choose 12 men from among the peoples, one from each tribe. Tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, go over before the ark of the Lord your God in the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be memorial to the people of Israel. How long? Forever. Interesting. All through the Scriptures, we find memorials being set up to remind, to bring back the memory of what God was doing. God has always been in control. The Old Testament is packed full of such examples of celebrations, memorials, and events which were done to remind the people of God what he had done for them in their past. The purpose being so that they would trust him with their future. Now, back then, the written word was not near as prevalent as it is today. Today, we have a great memorial, right? The scriptures to remind us constantly of how God is working in the lives of his people. One of Satan's favorite tools is to get us to forget the past and to worry about the future. We can get our eyes off of God and forget what he has already done for us and look at the conditions in the world around us and work ourselves up into a good worry, right? Not hard to do. Very easy to do. All we have to do is forget the way God has led us in the past, and we will start worrying. We will become fearful. I want to remind us that God is still in control. Jesus did a wonderful job of reminding us that God knows everything about us. He knows the future that we face. Nothing catches God by surprise. Matthew 24, Jesus is talking with his disciples, and they ask him, "Lord, tell us, when are all these things going to happen? When are you going to return? Tell us all about this." And we get to listen in as Jesus talks with them. Jesus was sitting there on the Mount of Olives. His disciples came to him privately. "Tell us," they said, "when will this happen? What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars." Well, rumors. The kids learned about that today, didn't they? "But see that to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and there will be earthquakes in various places. All these things are the beginning of birth pains. Then you'll be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. And you'll be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end," what? "Will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached," say it with me, "in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." Jesus is telling us exactly what to expect. Some look at the world and become fearful. Jesus says, "Look at the world and remember, I told you it was going to be like this. It's exactly what I said was going to happen. Don't lose heart. Don't become discouraged." He tells us that we personally are going to suffer and be hated by many, and that many who profess to be his followers are going to abandon him. Yes, that is what Christ is telling us is going to happen. He knows it's going to happen. But the question facing us today, are we going to be among the ones who abandon him? Or are we going to be among the ones who remain faithful? That's the important question, right? It's not what's going on in the world. Jesus says that's going to happen. And I believe the answer to those questions lies in a very large degree upon if we are remembering or if we are forgetting how God has led us in our past. Do you remember? It's so easy to forget, isn't it? Remember back when this tragedy was in your life and it was the big event? And guess what? You're past that. God has brought you through that. And now we're engrossed with the next tragedy and we forget how God brought us through. We don't need to be fearful. I love the way Jesus sums it all up there. "This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." He's saying it's not the calamities that are going to bring the end. It's not all the trials and the persecutions. It's when the gospel gets preached to the whole world. It's like Jesus is saying, yes, I know all these terrible things must come to pass. But what is really important is that you accomplish the job that I've put you here for. Spread that gospel. Spread the love of Jesus around the world. Preach it to the whole world so that I can come and bring an end to all the sickness and the suffering that you're going through. Bring an end to all this terrible stuff that's going on in our world. I want to end it. Do you want him to end it? Do you really want him to end it? It's only one way. When the gospel has gone to your neighbors, your work associates, your family, those that you meet each day, when you have done what God puts you in that environment to do, you are the salt of the earth. You are the savor of this community that you're living in. You're there to share what God has done for you. That's why you're here. There's no other reason. The last words of Christ before he returned to heaven, as Matthew records them in Matthew 28, says, Jesus came to them and says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, for that reason, because I have the authority, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you. How long? Always. To the very end of the age. Has that come yet? Is God with you yet? Well, he's with five of you. Don't you just love the way Christ finishes it with the assurance he's going to be with us to the very end? Has the end come yet? So is Christ with us? A few more. I'm glad he is with us. The Apostle John was given many, many more details of the future of God's people. And it's fascinating to study the book of Revelation and see how there is literally nothing that has caught God by surprise. He told us in advance what was going to happen. And I just love the prophecies of God's word to see how God knew and everything has fulfilled exactly as he said it would. There's very, very little left in the book of Revelation that has not already happened. Friends, we're in the very last days. We're down at the very end days of time. And it's exciting to realize that God is still with his people. God is still working. All these years down through history, we've seen God with his people. Don't forget it. Very soon, Christ is going to return to take his people to our true heavenly home, where we will live with Christ and with all of the loved ones who have accepted him and remained faithful to him for eternity. I love the way John sums it up for us there at the end of Revelation, Revelation 21, verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven, the first earth had passed away. There was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud voice in the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he says, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He's saying, I want this to be a memorial for people to look at. Write it down. Put it there so they can read it and they can remember. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will do what? Will inherit all this. I will be their God, and they will be my children. Friends, doesn't that just warm your heart? Doesn't that give you hope? This is what we're living for. This is the good news of the gospel of Jesus. The reality is Jesus is coming soon. Yes, there will be some difficult days ahead. Yes, we will suffer. Don't worry about that. Remember what is coming. Remember what Jesus has promised us. Remember that Jesus is here. He has promised to be with us to the very end. And when the end comes, in reality, it is only just the beginning. The beginning of eternity. And as we will look back on these short years that we have lived on this earth, they will be insignificant. The trials, the suffering, the problems, they were nothing. It's like the old hymn. It says, "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid out somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Just up in glory land, we'll sing eternally. The saints on every hand will shout the victory. With songs of sweetest praise we'll sing on heaven's shore. But I can't feel at home in this world anymore." Whatever 2012 holds, I don't know. I can't tell you. But I can encourage you. Get your eyes off the things of this earth. Keep them fastened upon Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Because whatever happens here will seem insignificant and small when we get there. Father, we thank you for the monuments, the memorials that you have left to remind us that you are still in control. The words of your book are sure and faithful. You know the events from the beginning to the end. You have known us before you formed us in our mother's womb, and you still know us today. You know our future. Our future is certain. You've purchased it. You've paid for it. You died for it. May we keep that hope burning in our hearts, and may it see us through not only 2012, but until that day when you do come and take us home to be with you. We pray in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.